Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. You've just tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt. What is the American Redoubt? It is the safe haven and the final fallback position for those of us who cherish Americanism and our Christian heritage and wish to make a stand, preserve it, if only regionally, while the rest of the country seems to be going to war against those values, except for a few other conservative pockets. But here in the American Redoubt, this is what is called the free zones. Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and Eastern Oregon and Eastern Washington. So thank you guys for tuning in. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. And of course, if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too, right? Now, there's several things that we're tracking here and have been all week. Do I even want to talk about this preposterous disrespect to the American flag and our service members and all that our American flag stands for? I'm not talking about where America has headed, the poor decisions and policies that have been made, and the rebelliousness that we see spreading and warring against God and all of our traditional values, notwithstanding. I'm talking about what the flag stands for to you and me. And these people, this is just viral. This is spiritual. This is just demonic, just rebelliousness and bitterness and discontent and division. Well, we are definitely greatly divided in our country. And, you know, it's almost like I was talking to somebody and they said, you know what, we've been trying to get the general public to take their eyes off sports, bread and circuses, just like in Rome, right before it fell or as it was falling. The people are preoccupied while the republic is being stripped. And they're not paying attention because they're being entertained by gladiators. So they don't care. And they lost the greatest republic on the face of the planet up to that point. Well, now we have the greatest republic that's ever existed on the face of the earth eroding away. And the people don't care because they've got their gladiators. They've got their football. Well, this latest little stunt has really struck a chord in America. We're seeing a renewed patriotism because the people stand behind the troops and those that have fallen for us to have the liberties that we have. And that flag represents so much. It is not just a piece of cloth. And so this might be just what we need, is for the American people to be so disgusted to actually take down their Seattle Seahawks flag from in front of their house and put up an American flag. Is this what it took? So although it's despicable to see, this is already under the surface in our culture. This is just rising to the top. You're just seeing the tip of the iceberg here. So people are outraged, but this is a major pushback. And maybe this is what was required to get people to actually put up their American flags again out of disgust and take down their favorite team's flag that they diehard fans. Now they're repulsed by their actions. So maybe this is a good thing. Or at least a good thing can come out of this. Well, we still have division and warring in our country. And of course, I subscribe to the Forward Observer. Sam Colper's got, basically it's an intelligence overview of some of the threats that we face as a nation and to our culture and things to keep an eye on and indicators of civil unrest and other potential, well, I guess things we should be concerned about and things we should be following and tracking. So I pulled up the Forward Observer, and what do I see here? A blotter, basically, of all of the stuff that the Antifa, or anti-fascists as they call themselves, but they're anything but anti-fascist. But I'm looking at this, of course, there's everything's on China. China has just basically banned cryptocurrencies. But, and some people are concerned, oh, the Bitcoin's taking a hit. It's just because China's, you know, dismissing it, banning it. Man, maybe that shouldn't be the way to go. Well, remember, just a couple of years ago, Russia did the same thing. Several countries have actually said, there will be no cryptocurrency here, no secret currency that we can't track and tax. But here's the thing, you can't stop it. I mean, you can ban fires. You can pass a law saying there will be no more fires. And then they ban Bic lighters. But see, you can't stop people from building fires because there's 1,001 ways that you could start a fire if you wanted to. So banning Bic lighters isn't going to work. Well, this is what happened with the other countries. And they first banned what they call cryptocurrency, which, what is it? I just lost it. So anyway, one of the examples, but, my mind just went fuzzy. And they can't stop it. There are so many different ways that you can, what these are blockchains that float through the internet. And somebody said, well, man, that's great until there's an EMP. But hold on a minute. The internet is worldwide, redundant systems. There are people that back up these blockchains and put them in Faraday. And then bring them out, you know, like, or rotate them out, on a hard drive and plug it in and update the blockchain and then stash it away. And it's so redundant. You would have to set off an EMP and take out the entire world as far as, internet goes and power. You'd have to EMP the whole world. So an EMP can take out a whole country or part of a country, but it can't take out the whole world. And even if it does, there are people that have redundant blockchains that are backed up and EMP proof. So basically the bottom line is this is the wave of the future. Russia and several other countries realized this when they realized it was something they could not stop. They don't have the capability to stop it. So you can't beat them, you join them. So then all of a sudden Russia started embracing it. So now they're officially getting involved. Well, I suspect China is going to be the same way. They'll try control measures for a long time. And then you're going to see at some point they're going to embrace it. That way they can at least stick their finger in the pie and have some control over and some piece of the action, if you will. And they'll pass laws saying, okay, we approve of it, but you have to go through official state approved conduits for, you know, making your financial transactions to avoid terrorism and crime, of course. But they're going to embrace it. And then cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, what's what I couldn't think of a minute ago, is going to go like crazy again. And that was like 200 or 300. I have about 3 or 4 different cryptocurrencies, which is one of the ways that we accept support. Donations to help Radio Free Redoubt stay up and running. You could pay with Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, Monero. We've got a few. So, you know, just however you guys want to support us and you want to do that anonymously, that's a great way to do it. But let's move on here to the Forward Observer down a little bit further, the police blotter, if that's what you want to call it. But Berkeley PD shifts their tactics due to the Antifa violence. Well, what do they mean? Well, Berkeley is of zero tactical import to us as patriots. Antifa tactics and police responses are certainly of strategic importance. One recent article quotes a UC Berkeley spokesperson as saying that law enforcement will change their tactics. Quoting, we can't turn a blind eye to what happened here or in the city of Berkeley or any other city across the country for that matter, the spokesperson said. Berkeley police allegedly added more security at recent rallies after being caught flat-footed and outnumbered at previous events. Outnumbered by whom? By violent communist revolutionaries. That's by whom. There are also a number of other tactics that we've modified. Things about how we staff, our rules of engagement, and other things I can't go into. For what should be obvious reasons, they say. Additionally, Berkeley police are now sharing intelligence with law enforcement agencies across the nation. And of course, that intelligence undoubtedly includes tactics, improvised weapons, and communications. So they've got the alt-left roll-up here. These are these precious darlings, social justice warriors. I want to remind you also, Deface Columbus Day is coming up, 9 October. So wherever there's any type of a statue or anything having to do with Columbus Day or Columbus, expect that to be targeted. Of course, law enforcement are aware of that. 09 October. So in California, Antifa, BAM, you know, by all means necessary, organizer Yvette Filarca arrested in Berkeley. Another one in California. Skirmishes break out as three arrested at a Patriot prayer rally on Tuesday. In Berkeley, Antifa stalks Republican students at a dinner. Antifa has taken pictures of me, followed me on the street, and tracked my location using social media, according to this report. CSUSM hosts former Black Panthers. That is a racist black supremacist hate group. Louisiana judge rules Black Lives Matter cannot be sued and dismisses a case. This is the rundown of what's happening across the country. Also in Louisiana, NFL Saints receiver flashes Black Power sign during a football game. Actually, we're starting to see more of this, especially during these American flag disrespect episodes that NFL players are doing. The Black Power symbols and fists in the air. Michigan, man urinates on a Black Lives Matter chalking. A manhunt underway. I'll bet. Don't get caught. They're going to string you up. North Carolina, a radical rush at UNC Asheville. You know, it's kind of those spontaneous crowds. They carry out violence and beat people that aren't the same color as them. I thought we were trying to get rid of that. Black Lives Matter leader to sue the New York PD. This is a whole list of this. Think Progress says church shooter, not race related, just a good Christian guy who shot people. there's a whole rundown. Go to Forward Observer to read some of this on your own. They do a really good job of keeping track of this stuff, but that just jumped out at me. I thought it was very interesting, enlightening to read. And on this note too, there's another, speaking of North Korea, let's not take our eyes off of that. That is a very, very real threat. It's a growing threat. They have the capabilities to carry out what they say they are going to do. This is not like a guy in a wheelchair across the street screaming at you, I'm going to come over there and I'm going to kick your butt. Well, what's your response? Okay. And you just keep going. Well, that's how we've treated North Korea. But only realize this guy can jump out of the wheelchair, or he's got a sniper rifle. He's got capabilities that even the analyst, I've been saying, the dangerous thing to do is underestimate a determined adversary. And North Korea is a determined adversary. So is Russia. So is China. Oh, I missed this one on here. Where was this? Russia. back to this this rundown from Forward Observer. Russia bought BLM ads, and I don't mean the Bureau of Land Management. I mean Black Lives Matter. Russia bought Black Lives Matter ads fomenting unrest. Think communism isn't still alive in Russia? Better believe it. We were warned of that we'd be lulled to sleep. Communism is not dead. Actually, we're seeing it fully maturing on the streets of our country. But let's get back to North Korea. So these analysts for years have been watching them scoff and mock people who say, we should be paying attention to these guys. And China. Oh, they don't have the Navy to get people here. They're no threat to us. They could never stand up to us. Well, fire an EMP missile, nuclear warhead over the United States, they become a very formidable adversary. Now they have the capabilities and they've been saying they're going to do it. So, yeah, it's time to take them pretty seriously. So, actually, we are. What they're doing is they've got 44 ground-based interceptors that will intercept missiles at Fort Greely, Alaska, 4 at Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. If deterrence fails, those interceptors would be the last line of defense against a North Korean missile. Each incoming ICBM might be met with 4 or more GBIs, the ground-based interceptors. So they're building it up, but there's kind of a new twist that's developed this week, and this was brought out on Defense One. You can go to defenseone.com and read this article, and we'll have it linked in the highlights and resources posting. But here's something interesting. If North Korea fires an ICBM, they will most likely take the most direct route, which means right over the North Pole. For us to be able to intercept it in time means that we will probably have to shoot down a North Korean missile over Russia. So things could get really interesting, right? As one person said, what could possibly go wrong? So, of course, it depends on the trajectory and the speed. There's a lot of variables, but they're saying the most probable course that a missile would take firing on the United States from North Korea would take it right over Russia. And for us to be able to, the most effective, depending on our time for reaction, the course of action or reaction for the highest probable success outcome would mean we would probably have to take it out right about at, while it's over Russia. So once it gets outside of that area, it's way up in space. It becomes much, much more difficult to intercept a missile once it gets outside of that range and into the stratosphere. So that could be something very, very interesting development. Now, another thing that's happened that we've been tracking very closely, because this is something that a lot of Radio Free Redoubt listeners are very keen on, and that is emergency communications. And the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, which is now a nationwide network of radio operators, mostly ham radio operators that practice regularly. A couple thousand Amron operators now, at least almost 500 Amron core operators. Those are your more dedicated, much higher training operators. They can send email back and forth over the radio. They can send images and a lot of digital communications over radio. Well, we've got some Amron operators in Puerto Rico. So Hurricane Maria was the third of 3 hurricanes to hit in 1 month. Houston is still trashed, but we forgot about them. They're out of the news cycle, right? We're watching football players locking arms during the protest or during the national anthem. We've moved on. They're still hurting. The Caribbean and parts of Florida still hammered. But Puerto Rico, they got obliterated. They've got hurled back to the Stone Ages. You want to get a glimpse of what it would look like if we had an EMP? Well, Puerto Rico's living that reality right now. So we've got three Ameron operators that we lost contact with as soon as the storm hit. We're trying to get in contact with them for accountability purposes. We've had Ameron operators monitoring the airwaves and trying to find, track them down to try to find some type of sign that they're doing okay, that they're alive, that they're start to get, you know, send reports out. But see, it has taken them days and, the whole week just to clear ports and airstrips to begin starting getting help into that area. They have no communications, no power, no water. The deaths now are, they don't even know. There are places that the government has not reached and will not be able to reach for quite some time just to get the body count from the morgues. The morgues are at full capacity, according to some of these reports. So we've got ham radio operators, not with Ameron, but the ARRL. That's the Amateur Radio Relay League, volunteer ham operators ready to go into Puerto Rico to begin supporting emergency communications so they can start coordinating response. But guess what? There's a rule. You can't go in there until we establish security. So now you've got how many operators? 100? I thought I put that in my notes, but there are a bunch of ham radio operators from the ARRL basically staying in the basement of a hotel near the airport waiting to be flown in, but they can't because they're waiting to get the 82nd Airborne and somebody else to go in to establish security because the security situation is also deteriorating rapidly. A lot of psychological problems among the victims, not to mention looting, opportunistic. People are starving. They're desperate. So it's now become a very dangerous situation. There were a lot of ham operators in Puerto Rico, but they've all started going silent because they cannot get fuel. Their generators are running out of fuel. And why they don't have solar panels and other ways to power radios, I don't know. But I just know that we're losing more and more of them are dropping off the airwaves. So the ARRL, also they had a subsidiary organization for responding to disasters called ARES, the Amateur Radio Emergency Service. And what's interesting is they have a policy that states clearly no firearms. When you respond to an emergency, you are forbidden. You'll be kicked out if you're found with a firearm while responding to an emergency as a radio operator under ARES. Now, Ameron's policy is completely different. That is up to the individual operator. Nobody else can determine what measures you think are necessary to provide for your protection in a disaster situation. We've deployed into places where there was looting and where there was crime, and we were heavily armed. Which, of course, some of the ARES folks balk at. Oh, that's just preposterous. You carrying guns. We're not allowed to carry guns. Well, we're not you. We don't have the same policies as you. But here's the other thing. FEMA, in its wisdom, and of course its omnipotence, omniscience, in its all of its wisdom, they are not allowing anyone who's not directly related to FEMA to deploy to Puerto Rico to help. So once again, the federal government comes to the rescue, not. Now they're trying, they got 10,000 people on the ground there, but they have no communications. They can't get communicators on the ground. This is why we have a policy in place with Ameron for disasters or certain disasters that we are planning for in advance. And part of that plan are jump teams that's in development right now, but really oriented, what got us oriented toward this type of policy was planning for the big one, Cascadia subduction zone along the Pacific Northwest coast, the massive 9-point-plus earthquake that they're expecting at some point in the future. Could happen tomorrow, today, could happen a week, a month, or a year, 10 years from now. They don't know, but they said it is coming. So the plan is to have jump teams. You immediately jump forward into the jaws. Immediately, because the federal government takes days and even weeks to fully get implemented and put into place. And then they start banning people from going into the affected area. Well, we will have already been in there days ago. And in hindsight, we might look at things like this hurricane with Puerto Rico and insert operators prior to the event even hitting. So that'll take a lot of careful planning, but having operators already in place that are fully comms capable to spring up out of the fallen palm branches, flip up some radios, some antennas, and immediately get on the air and start giving situation reports. That's what we're looking at. So I'm saying this, all of this, to instill a very valuable learning lesson. There's some people that say, oh, you're a doomsday prepper type stuff. No, we're patriots who are prepared for emergencies also. We're big pushers of self-reliance. Why? Because these people in Puerto Rico, most of them are not self-reliant. They are crying out to the government to come and save them. And they've proven over and over to be inadequate. Even if they deployed all their assets to Puerto Rico, not to mention the other two hurricanes that they're in the middle of responding to, there is more work than there are people. But they want to push them away because they're not official. That's sad. Be prepared to take care of yourself. I want to thank our sponsor, Riverfront Suites in beautiful St. Mary's, Idaho, right on the St. Joe River. Fall colors are coming. What a beautiful time to be able to stay there. If you're in the area, you need a place to lay your head, check out Riverfront Suites. Go to riverfrontsuites.com. Anyway, you guys have a blessed week. We will not have a podcast tomorrow night, but next weekend we will be back on track at RadioFreeRedoubt.com, the podcast on Sunday night at 8 p.m. You guys have a blessed week. This is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too.